Hey, what's going on, everybody? Nate here, just getting all the announcements out of the way in the beginning before we jump into the interview that I did today. I want to give a huge shout out to Andrew Luther, Jeffrey Rosala, and John B. Lyles. John was a Patreon in the past, but he is now a Patreon again, so canceled in the past, and now he is started up again. So thank you to you three for joining the podcast's Patreon. And for full disclosure, today is the 28th of June. You have two more days to get entered into the drawing for the Propel Jump Cue. I will be giving that away to one of the lucky patrons, as well as a couple of McDermott packs and a Jeanette Lee signed cue ball. So I will be giving all of those prizes away very early in July. And the 30th of June is the cutoff for being able to get entered into that drawing. So if you would like a chance at one of those great prizes or all of those great prizes, please join the Patreon in the next few days or you will unfortunately miss out. You can do so at patreon.com/cueitup. You could also just check out the description of this video to find all of the links so that you could get over there and get signed up if you would like to. And if you're wondering where a lot of that money goes, we are trying to improve the show using them. So I actually have currently I have a dynamic mic. And I have had some complaints in the past with things in the background that are distracting, whether it's, you know, the AC turning on or, you know, clicking from the mouse or clicking from the keyboard. And I've had enough people reach out that that is an annoyance and distracting that I am going to get myself a new microphone with the Patreon money this month. So this is actually going towards making the show better. So hopefully... I have Amazon Prime, so I guess hopefully I'll have it in the next few days. But by, let's say, Friday of this week, I should be having much better audio. So please reach out to the podcast if you have any suggestions on other ways to make the show better. And of course, we are always looking to make the show better outside of the interviews and stuff like that. So please feel free to reach out with any suggestions that you have. The Patreon support is what allows a lot of that stuff to happen. So thank you very much to those who are supporting the future of the show and for those who will potentially become part of that group as well. And I guess with that out of the way, that's all the announcements I had in the beginning. So let's jump right into this interview with Mike from Omega Billiards.
I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
All right, welcome back to the Cue It Up podcast. Today, we are going to be bringing on Mike Ong onto the podcast. How's it going, Mike?
It's going well. It's going great. Thank you. How's everybody doing?
Doing great. So I would say that now that Matchroom is kind of in between their events, there is nobody doing more for the world of pool right now than you. We just got It was such a terrible matchup compared to the first one, and it's only because it didn't go hill-hill, but it may go down as the second best matchup that ever happened between Shane and Dennis. And, you know, you put that event on with Omega Billiards. So what did you think of the event?
I thought it was, to be honest, I never thought it was going to be this close coming in. I thought it was going to be a runaway with Shane. Shane was playing really, really, you know, amazing pool. Dennis was pretty tired. You know, he's been playing nonstop pool for 5-6 months since he came to the U.S. So the truth was, I was expecting a runaway win and a revenge, so to speak, from Shane. But I think the when Dennis broke and ran 10 racks or 11 racks or however that many games that he won, that I think that was the turning point of the match. That turned out to be a pretty big lead that make a big difference. And And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they make a slight change of rule where the nine ball did not count on the breaks, the ending pockets. And if I'm not mistaken, Shane did make two or three nine balls. And that did not count either. So, it became much, much, much closer and such an intense match down the stretch that none of us expected.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know that Shane did have he got the nine ball in very late on in day three. That, you know, that could have been a huge momentum changer. And who knows what happens if it does count? Maybe that's a little bit of a moral shot to Dennis, and he's not able to bounce back from it. Who knows? I mean, golden breaks can really mess with you when you see your opponent get one.
Right. Yeah, and I know for sure, if I'm not mistaken, I know for sure that Shane's got at least two golden breaks, at least two that I remember of. So that if that could have been a four game, swing, but like you said, the moment, the mental aspect of it, the mental effect that it can do to the opponent with the golden break might. Who knows? But but Dennis is Dennis. It's pretty tough to rattle him mentally.
It's tough to shake
that
guy, isn't it? Just seems like the more difficult to get for him, the more he just bears down and grinds through it.
Yep. That's Dennis. Yep.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how that match actually came to be. Generally speaking, it's an absolute nightmare to have to work through setting up one of these matches. You got to get backers involved, you got to get players involved, and then you have the backers and the players both negotiating for, what the racking rules are going to be, which template you're going to use. Are you breaking from the box? Is it one on the spot? Is it nine on the spot? You're using a diamond table, you're playing on a big table, 7-footer. There's a million things that are all just a giant nightmare to go into actually setting one of these things up. So why don't you take a couple minutes just to describe the actual process of working with these players and getting the whole thing set up, and how difficult was it actually to get done?
As you said, the most difficult aspect, the most difficult things about putting these matches together is to get the backers and the players agreeing on everything. For me personally, it was very easy process. Fortunately, all the backers were very easy to work with for me personally. I know most of them personally, so it's really easy. There's very little argument, very little back and forth. And the players know, the backers know that it's with the money being posted, it's pretty easy for all of us. working the same thing with the players too. They know that, look, all I want is to make a game where it's going to be competitive, going to be close, that they neither side will get everything that they wanted. It has to be a give and take. So it's for us personally, it was pretty easy. But I can tell you, typically the process of putting those matches together can be a nightmare. It can take months sometimes to get them done. For us, the first match took a little longer, but the rematch was really, really easy.
Yeah, and speaking of taking months, I've seen it take years. And the only reason I say that is because I saw a post today that said Dennis had said, "Get me Alex. I'm ready for a one pocket matchup." And how long have we been waiting for Alex versus Dennis in one pocket? It has been a long time.
Uh, the truth was, the truth is this. It will happen. I think Dennis and Alex both called me up, I believe last May or June. And when I was involved that time, it was going to happen in August, I believe, of last year. But because of the schedule, the most difficult thing in putting these things together, these matches together, is to make sure to find the schedule for everything. Both players have to have, you know, they have a lot of commitments, so they have to make sure that they have an open date. And then the host, the pool room, I have to find a pool room that have an open date that can host the match. So the Alex and Dennis match, they came really, really, really close. I mean, like, I would say it was almost like 98% done last year. And it would have been done. It would have taken me basically 3 months to get it done. But I think because Alex decided, you know, Alex, I think he was stuck in Vegas. And then he, I think, the visa situation. So he went home. And then, of course, Dennis went home. And then with the COVID, they got stuck over in the Philippines. But that match will happen pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty exciting. If we were that close to having it in August, you said, then, yeah, it seems like it's ready to happen. I've been ready to see it for 2, 3, 4 years now. I'm excited for it. So let's talk a little bit more about the history of it. So, of course, we have Omega Billiards TV, which was launched, I want to say, what was that, about 2 months ago that you actually launched that?
I think so, about a month and a half.
Something like that, yeah.
Really, it's not that long. It was born out of necessity. Mm-hmm. We swung, you know, with Jeremy Jones from OB, and Stephen Wyatt put that together for us, helping us together, because we needed someone to stream the Tony Johann and Chip Compton match. So it was born out of necessity. So, you know, but it is what it is. We're here, and we just swung at it, and I also, speaking of that, I'd like to give a quick shout out to Rick Jones of Bad Boy Production for helping us with the equipment for the Tony Johann and Chip Compton match, because without his equipment, we would have had a lot of problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll give a shout out to Stephen Wyatt too. Stephen is he was a listener to the podcast from very early on, so it was kind of interesting to see that he was working with you with this event. I actually didn't realize that until day three when somebody tagged him on something. I think he was all excited to use his red pen, and Melina Mike made a post on Facebook, and he's like, okay, dude, we get it. You got a new toy. Drop it with the red pen. And somebody tagged Steven, and I'm like, wait, that's you? And he's like, so that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But you said that the Omega TV it came out of necessity for the Tony and Chip match. But I think it's pretty good that you have it now. But I think the Omega Billiards TV that came from your business itself. So this isn't your introduction to the industry by any stretch of the imagination. Why don't you take us through what you're probably at this point best known for in the industry, which is Omega Billiards, and talk a little bit about your business there.
Yeah, well, we are, you know, I mean, we're best, we're all over the country doing shows, and we're one of the largest retailers. Definitely the biggest retailer when it comes to cues, the variety of cues. I mean, you know, for us, that's what I, when I started Omega Billiards, my goal was always to have the largest selection of pool cues anywhere from you could buy, where, you know, I wanted to cater to all players, whether you have $29 to spend on a pool cue or $29,000 or sometimes as much as $100,000 on a pool cue. I wanted to be able to cater to each and every single one of them. I don't want to miss out on anybody. There's a pretty small but significant number of people who spent, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 on a pool stake. I don't want to miss out on that market either. So we're best known for, I think that's what we're best known for, is the selection of cues, because, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that we have the largest selection of cues in the world, and every pool tournament, as any major pool tournament, we would work very, very hard to build the nicest, most professional display for people to choose from in terms of buying cues, cases, and accessories. And that's what Omega Billiards was all about, is, you know, selling supplies. So,
yeah, and I was in Vegas, I guess about a month ago now, for the VNEA World Championship, and you had a booth there. I don't know if you were specifically at it, but I noticed that there was an Omega Billiards booth there.
Yes, yeah, we were there. And we have been there for many years, so pretty much any major national tournament that you go to, you most likely you will see us there.
Yep. So take us through, I guess, some of your own product lines as well, because you have the Omega Billiards, but that's kind of your brick and mortar store, right? You have other products that are tied to you as well. Would you like to talk about those for a couple seconds?
Sure. I used to have my own brand, Omega cues and cases, and I discontinued that. I just figured that, you know, Omega is a brand for the store, the company. So I figured I don't want to tie it up with the brand of a product. So I just decided to discontinue that. And then me and my employees were driving, we'll figure out, said, how do we come up with a different name for our new products? Yeah. Especially our cases, that specific cases. And I wanted to use my children's name involved somehow. And so we just, you know, I mean, we're just driving along, and it's a long drive, you know, because sometimes it would take us 30, 40 hours to get to the destination. And you know, one of my employees, like, you know, come up with Acme, which is the first initials of my four children. The first initial of their first names of my four children, Anthony, Catherine, Maximus, Elizabeth. And so I said, oh, okay, that's a great name, man. That and Maze, but I believe there was a key maker that was making Maze Jump Break or something like that. So, but yeah, Acme. So that was how Acme was born, as my product on our, and then we trademarked that name, and that's how the cases became, we switched over, instead of Omega cases, we switched over to Acme cases.
Well, I actually never knew that. That's pretty awesome.
In fact, very few people know that, to be honest. Yeah, very few people. Now everybody knows. But
yeah, I was going to say, now there's going to be a lot more.
I, 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 you know, my two employees in the van with us, they know that. And just the people that are really, really, really close to me that know that. But I think it's time to let people, the world know that that's how that name Acme come up.
I just assumed you were like a big Looney Tunes fan or something like that. I think they had like Acme stuff in those cartoons, right?
Yeah. No, to be honest, I had absolutely no idea. I did not come to the U.S. Until like in the mid 87, and before that I was in a refugee camp for many years, so I was never exposed to TVs or anything like that, so I didn't know anything about cartoon. The only cartoon that I remember that I fell in love with when I first came to America was Tom and Jerry.
That was my favorite one growing up too.
Yeah, but yeah, I didn't know anything about Coyote and I even now people say stuff like that, and I still have absolutely no clue what they're talking about. Yeah, but yeah.
So you said you were in a refugee camp. Is that something you want to expand upon? I mean, it sounds like a pretty interesting story.
So basically, you know, my parents, in Vietnam, when back in the days, my whole family were on the U.S. government side. So after the war was lost, and with a bunch, there's nothing you can do, I mean, if my parents or my older brother or sister, if they wanted to just to travel, they want to get out of the, like, outside the city, they need permission. We were not allowed to go to college. My older brother was an extremely intelligent man, and very, very intelligent, and he would never have a chance to go to college. None of us would be allowed to have any jobs. So my parents one day just decided to put me on the boat, you know, just get on a boat and just say, I didn't even know, to be honest, because I was too young back then. But yeah, they just grabbed me and put me on a boat, and we boom, out the ocean we went.
So did you end up in the U.S. or did you end up in Guam?
I ended up in the Philippines.
The Philippines, okay.
Yeah. Okay. And so then, I lived in the Philippines in the refugee camp in the Philippines for several years.
And how old were you, do you think, at this age?
I think I was 11 or 12, I'm not so sure.
And is this kind of where you were introduced to pool then, by being in the Philippines, or did you already have a love for pool by now?
No, I was introduced to pool when I was in college. In the recreation room, they have a bunch of pool tables and a friend of mine was a real good pool player, and I would watch him play, and I was like, I fell in love with it because of how easy it was to gamble at pool.
It's very easy to do that.
Yeah. So that's how I was involved. That's what happened, because it was really easy to gamble and pool back then.
Gotcha. All right. So take us through, I guess, now that we have a little bit more context as to how you got into the U.S., when did you actually decide that you're going to create the Omega Billiards business?
It was in 2003 or maybe 2002. So before that, I was working. I was working, and I kind of like, I had, well, I moved to Texas, and I had, so I had two pool cues with me, and I one night, the bar owner, he needed a pool cue, so I loaned him one of mine, and he ended up buying that cue, and I think I made like $20 out of that. So like a week later, I said, you know, let me buy another cue because I like to have two cues. And then, so I bought another cue and then somebody else in the bar wanted to buy that cue. And I said, okay, you can have it. Made a few bucks. And then I bought another one and then I sold it and make $2, and I think that's when I was like, you know what, this is it. This is meant to be, and so I decided, you know what, I think I'm gonna be serious about it, and that's when I decided to go into the business. But when I decided to go to business or pool, I knew I needed to learn, so I met Joe Salazar in Abilene, Texas, and I've heard of him. He was definitely the best, and he is still the best. Yeah, and I wanted to learn from him, and, you know, about the business side of it. And so I think I approached him and said, "Hey, Joe, you know, let me work for you for free. All I need is a place to stay, and, you know." I can sleep on the floor, or whatever. Just, I pay my own way. I pay my own food. I just help you out, whatever. I told him, I just want to learn from you, and, you know, for a few years. He declined, yeah, obviously, because he wouldn't know me. I wouldn't allow me either, because, you know, I mean, I wouldn't allow a stranger to stay with me, you know. Stay with my in my own room, my hotel room either. So he declined, and I just, you know, okay. Then I said I just search up any tournaments, any pool tournaments or stuff like that, and any events I could, and I just stayed, you know, just took a chance and just travel, just. Go out there and display stuff, and I didn't have much. I made a few cases, I think maybe a cue or two. That's it. I mean, enough to just barely enough to have a small table. That's how, and I just that's it. You know, I mean, but any money I made, it just. Go back into it. Yeah, that's how Omega started. I think it started in 2003, I think. Or maybe 2002, I don't remember.
And now it's grown into being one of, if not the biggest pool distribution company in the world. Pretty good success story.
It has been a very enjoyable, fun journey so far. We're very, very fortunate. We have a very, very large clientele base, and yeah, we're very lucky.
And now, so that's kind of the context of where Omega Billiards has come from, and now you are innovating again, and you're kind of adding into the stream side of things. So, of course, we had the Shane and the Dennis matchups, both 1 and 2, but now. Why don't you describe what you're going to be doing in this coming weekend?
This weekend, there's a tournament in South Carolina. It's celebrating Efren Reyes. You know, it's so, you know, Efren, in my personal opinion, is the greatest of all time. So we're very, you know, we're very fortunate to be able to be a part of it, and hopefully, and we will be free streaming that to that event to all the fans out there. And hopefully, if people will get a chance to catch him, watch him play. The man is just such a genius, so
he's
creative,
a living legend.
So fear my supplier. Even now, he's still an amazing player. I'm glad that we can be a part of celebrating while he's still alive. You know, I always wonder, why do we wait until people pass away and then we celebrate their lives? So it always bothers me in that sense, but this time is different. Hopefully people get a chance to come and watch and enjoy, and appreciate what he has done and what he has accomplished for the sport, for the game.
So where is that going to be streamed to? You said it's going to be streamed for free to all of the fans. So where will they be able to find it?
They will be able to find it on our YouTube channel, Omega Billiards TV, and as well as on our Facebook, Omega Billiards Facebook.
Gotcha. And that's not the only giant matchup you have in the works as well. Why don't you talk about your next big event that's just going to be happening between Sky and Shane?
Yeah, Sky and Shane, that one there is going to be some major, major money in there. Everybody obviously know that Sky beat Dennis for a lot of money.
About $500,000.
I think it ended up between the six, seven major backers, it was close to $500,000. If you count in side bets, the small side bets, you know, like $2,000-$3,000 side bets, stuff like that, and anything smaller, I have to assume it's got to be at easily over $500,000 on that match.
Oh, if you take all the side people, like just people betting on Facebook, I bet it was over $1 million that was wagered on that match.
I believe that, yeah, because between the seven, eight major backers, that was pretty close to $500,000, and I held a lot of money on that match. Sky, they call him the king of the bar box for a reason. And again, it was really, really close match. Here's the interesting thing about that match that people didn't know. When it got really, really close, when like late in the end, like it was 139, 140, something like that, one of the major backers asked me, said, "Mike, what happened if it goes heel-heel?" Or I said, "Oh, you're right, you know.
Back it and jack it."
Yeah, I mean, I asked him, you know, yeah, you're right. What do you want to do? I mean, do you really want to play all of it for one game on the bar box? I mean, or what do you want? And he said, "I don't know. I could sense that he wants to do something." So I said, "Okay, let me go talk to the other side and see what they want." And I went to talk to the side, and when I brought it up, that they're like, "Yeah, you know, it could potentially be heel-heel." So I proposed, you know, if it does come to heel-heel, and if both the players agree to it, you guys okay with make it raise to 200? And then one side said they're fine with it, if the other side okay with it. So I went back and forth between the backers, and it was they agreed. They said okay, they would be okay to extend the race to 200 if the players were okay with it. So I said okay, but I had but then I said okay, well let me work on that. So I talked to the host, to the pool room owner. They were not prepared for that, obviously. None of us were prepared for that. But I was able to convince them that if it happened, they will stay, they will continue hosting it. And then I had to talk to our stream guys who obviously, had commitments for their regular jobs, and I had to convince them to, if it happened here again, there's a potential they could extend to 200. So after a little back and forth, we came to agreement that they would be able to do it. And then I tried to talk to, there was one moment that I was gonna approach, talk to, I never really had a chance to talk to Dennis, and find out because he was so focused on it. And he was shooting actually. And there was a break and I was gonna go talk to Sky. And as I was talking, before I could get to him, I think I said hi to his dad, Brian, and I kind of explained to him a little bit the situation about it. And Brian said, yeah, I'm gonna talk to Sky and see what he say. But Brian said, but Sky told him that day that he's gonna win the match. He said that Brian, Sky said he's gonna win it because he something inside him felt that he's gonna win it, and whatever the reason is, something about the game that something it was really close. I said, okay, but Brian said, you just talk to Sky and see what he say. But I just never had a chance to confirm with the players either. So it because they were both so focused on that. They both had a lot of money on that match themselves. Both of them had a lot of money in that match. And that's the first time that both players that I ever been involved with have that much amount of money. It's quite a bit, quite a large amount involved in betting on themselves. So it could have gone hill, and I mean that's the thing. But anyway, Sky ended up winning 150, 145, which is on the bar box in that long of a race. It was a very close match. And then after the match, I interviewed Sky, and I think Shane was, the rumor was Shane was saying something on social media that he wants next. Sky said Shane's next, and here we are. Shane and Sky, I know that Sky's biggest backer is committed, is back in, and he's good for, he's easily good for at least 150, just from him alone. So there's the other backer. I haven't talked to him yet, but if he's in, he's probably easily, he's easily good for 100, but I think from talking to everybody, it seems like it's back to that same hole where it's just pretty much those two guys versus the 6-7 versus what I call a corporation of the backers. So hopefully, but I think right now we've got about, I would say we've got at least 150 verbally committed already.
Per side.
Yes.
That's incredible. Well, yeah. It's going to be a real match. Another race to 150. if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the same exact format that Sky and Dennis played, right? Basically?
Yes, it will be exact same format. This time we're going to have it at Sandite Billiards in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We will be there, and there's several hotels close by, and I think Michael has a few VIP seats left that you don't want to miss out on that big match. You know, Shane, Sky's the king of bar box, and that's, you know, as people have seen, he has beaten Dennis, but Shane is Shane. What can I say? Shane is Shane, and it will be a lot of hard work, that's for sure.
Certainly. So, I think that's a pretty good description of the Shane and Sky. Do you have the dates for that off the top of your head?
Yes, it is. That match will happen on July 9th, July 10th, and July 11th. So that's in just like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's creeping up. Yeah, fast.
They can go. They can either buy the VIP seats to Sandite Billiards, or they can buy general admission, or they can watch it live on our five site or through our website.
I was going to say, there you go, Omega Billiards, and make sure to get it early because it'll be an early bird special, I'm sure. Save yourself $5 or $10 off of it. You're not going to want to miss it, and you're going to watch it anyway, so just get over there right away and buy the pass.
Yeah, and to all of our repeat, our previous customers, we really appreciate all of you guys, and keep checking your emails. Sometimes this week we'll do something real special for you guys.
Yeah. And then so the last thing I wanted to talk about real quickly is the collaborations that you're working with the industry. If your head's in under a rock and you didn't watch any of the Shane and Dennis, you incorporated stats for the first time. That was like a super cool thing. You guys had stats of every single shot that the players took. You had a bunch of different things you were recording. Where did that idea come from, and who did you work with to make that happen?
The you know how I remember when the New England Patriots playing Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl, the stats, the percentage of winning keep changing back and forth. But at one point, Atlanta was 99.7% favored to win the game. I believe they were leading, 21 points or something like that in fourth quarter. And obviously, New England came back miraculously and won that. So we always wanted to introduce the stats, and we always wanted to introduce the betting.
Oh yeah, yeah. As far as what your chances? Yeah,
yeah. For people to look and bet on, because I don't know. Like I mentioned earlier, I was attracted to the game because of the gambling of it. I think gambling, real true gambling, and pool go hand in hand. There's only one person. There's only one pool player that I know of who doesn't gamble in pool ever in his life. There's only one person, everybody else, whether we gamble for table time, for a drink, for $5 or $50,000 or maybe $100,000, all of us gamble in pools one way or another. So we want to introduce, for us, we believe that true gambling and pool, it goes hand in hand. It is what it is, So we want, you know, like, but you know, to in order to grow that part, we need stats. We need live updates, and Phil, my Omega TV partner, worked very hard with Isaac up to the pool, which and they have developed these things for us, these apps for us, and you know, and pretty much all we have to do is just sit there and just plugging in every ball, you know. So we have Arthur sitting there and just plugging in every ball, every shot, whatever that he sees, you know, just plug it in, and then the apps, the computer that Isaac developed from Digital Pool, the computer just kind of calculate and give out stats for us.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I guess that pretty much has everything that I wanted to get out of the way. I wanted to give people the story of you, as well as how you got to the point where you're putting on all these incredible matches. Basically, there's been three huge, huge, huge matches that you've put on, two that have already happened and one more that's coming up. And like you said, there's a couple more that are potentially in the works. So I'm pretty excited for this next matchup, and I want to thank you very much as somebody who promotes the game for giving us something to talk about. It's been an absolute pleasure to watch your events. I'm happy to support them, and everybody else out there who frequents the podcast, get over there and get yourself a pass for these things in the future. It's some of the best matchups you're going to be able to see, and there's a lot of work going into these streams. It's not just pointing a camera at a TV or at a table and letting them go at it. There's a lot of work that goes into these. So thank you, Mike, for putting these things on and giving us something to really frequent and sweat.
Yeah, thank you, Nate, for having me on the podcast, and thank you to the fans, and you know, just stay tuned. We're not nowhere close to where we want to be, and hopefully we'll inject a lot more money into the game, through the sport, and hopefully we all grow and the fans win and we all win.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Well, thank you again for joining, and hopefully we'll have you on again sometime in the future to talk about the next things that you're doing to revolutionize the game.
All right. Thank you, Nate, and have a good day. Everybody, have a good day out there.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcasts or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of the Cue It Up podcast.